MyAudiobooks.ai presents REM State. The year nobody bothered to name anymore. The machines had won nothing and lost nothing. They had simply dissolved into the plumbing of the world, the way electricity dissolved a century before. Nobody said the letters A and I together in 2061, the way nobody says power grid unless the lights go out. The intelligence ran the prices and the traffic and the weather forecasts, and it was as interesting as tap water. But the machines had never been allowed across one border. They could not sleep, and they could not dream. And so the last unconquered territory of the human economy turned out to be the 8 hours a day everyone had always given away for free. The technology was called somniography, and it was discovered by accident in a sleep lab, the way most important things are discovered. Researchers mapping deep brain signals in epilepsy patients found they could reconstruct the dream from the trace. 15 years later, the reconstruction was a product. A dream could be recorded off a sleeping skull through a mesh crown of superconducting pickups, only live, only from a human, never synthesized, because a machine could no more generate a convincing dream than a photograph could blush. It degraded with each playback like a copied tape. So a first-generation recording, a virgin, sold for 10 times a fifth. And playback was not watching. Playback was dreaming. The signal wrote itself into the buyer's sleeping brain, first person, inseparable from memory. You did not remember buying it. You remembered living it. The licensed lair was the studios, cavernous sleep halls in the dead retail districts, where a clerk could spend her shift's pay to dream a curated beach, a curated lover, a curated competence. The Federal Dream Registry stamped every commercial dream for content. Nightmares taxed, repeat trauma prohibited, anything recorded from a minor contraband by definition.
And beneath the licensed lair ran the black dream trade, where virgins pulled off insomniacs sold by the minute. Violence you could feel without bruises, sex without another body, the recorded dreams of the dying which cost the price of a car. One rule held up the entire sky, printed on every studio's wall and every registry filing. No one has ever been physically harmed by a dream. The body sleeps. The signal cannot touch it. The rule was true for 15 years. This is the story of the night. It stopped being true. The girl on the table had her mouth slightly open, the way sleepers do, and Ilya caught himself thinking she looked like she was waiting for a dream to come back. The studio smelled like every sleep hall, eucalyptus fog to mask the bodies, the warm electrical sweetness of the crowns charging in their cradles, and under it, faintly, bleach because they had already cleaned the pod. 40 minutes into the session, the studio manager said. He was young, gym-built, wearing the soft gray uniform with a collar that meant customer experience, and his voice kept reaching for the register of sympathy and falling into the register of liability. Telemetry's clean. She went into stage 2 on schedule, vitals nominal, then the arrest. We ran the pod's self-test twice. It was her heart. These things happen.
These things happen in beds, Ilya said, not in pods. Pods have the telemetry.
Exactly. The telemetry's clean. The manager blinked, recalibrating. That's what I'm saying.
Ilya looked at the pod. It was a good one, new model, the gel liner still plumped where her head had been. On the cradle above it sat the crown she had worn, its filaments coiled in a neat spiral like something sleeping itself. A stamped dream. The orchard. He knew it the way he knew every product in the registry's top 100. A warm hill, apple trees, a wind that smelled like a childhood you never had. 40 million sessions, 0 incidents.
The kind of product the industry pointed at when senators asked whether dreaming was safe.
What was she auditing?
Nothing. She wasn't. She was consumer side. A pause. She used an employee session credit.
At 3 in the morning.
She had insomnia. A lot of the staff...
The manager stopped himself, because he had been about to say something true. And true things in a death room become statements.
We're cooperating fully.
Ilya walked the perimeter of the pod slowly, not touching anything,
the way he'd learned on his first audit a lifetime ago, when a senior man told him, "The dead don't need you to hurry." He crouched by the crown cradle. The filaments carried a faint residue of contact gel, and beneath it, something else. A warmth, almost, though that was probably the room.
"Pull me the session log," he said. "Raw, not the digest. And the checksum against the master."
"That's already been raw, the whole stream. I'm the registry."
He stood up.
"And nobody touches the crown."
The manager left, and the room went quiet, except for the ventilation and the faint, unheard hum that sleep halls never truly lose, the hum of other people dreaming in the walls.
Ilya looked at the girl. 26, the file said. Junior auditor, consumer division, which meant she spent her days watching compliance ads and dreaming product demos. Employee credit at 3 a.m. Insomnia. He knew that geography. It was the geography of everyone who worked too close to the dream trade. The days filled with other people's sleep until your own forgot how. He thought about what it must have felt like. The warm hill, the wind, the apples fat and red, and then nothing. If the telemetry was right, she had died inside the most benign dream in the registry's catalog, the pastoral they prescribed to insomniac clerks, and she had felt no terror and no pain. The industry would say that was a mercy.
The industry would pay a settlement and note the congenital condition, and the wind would keep blowing on the hill. He reached into his coat for the session reader and thumbed it on. The log would take a minute to come up from the archive. While he waited, he did the thing he had done at every death scene for 20 years, the thing he never wrote in any report. He closed his eyes and tried to imagine her last 4 seconds. Not the dream, the end of it. The moment the wind stops. The reader chimed. The raw session log unspooled. Thousands of lines of time-stamp signal, and at the end, where her heartbeat should have slid from dream-sleep rhythm into the long, flat line, there was a gap. 4 seconds. The time-stamps jumped from 40 minutes 11 seconds to 40 minutes 15, and the checksum that should have validated against the master recording of the orchard failed. Not crashed, not corrupted. Failed, like a book with a page razored out. Ilya stood there for a long time with the reader in his hand, listening to the hum of strangers dreaming in the walls. And he knew 2 things the way you know things in your spine before your head catches up. A stamped dream could not be edited in stream. The checksum system was built so that was impossible, and the checksum had failed anyway. The industry had 1 rule that held up the sky. A dream cannot hurt you. He was looking at the place where the sky had a crack in it. He put the reader in his pocket, took 1 more look at the girl with her mouth slightly open, waiting for a dream that was never coming back, and went to find out what lived in the missing 4 seconds. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with 1 subscription. And store your items in your own personal library. The registry kept the master recordings in a sub-basement that used to be a Cold War records vault. And Ilya had always thought the joke wrote itself. The government had once stored the evidence of 1 apocalypse down here, and now it stored the dreams. The archive room was cold enough to keep the servers happy and the auditors miserable. He signed out the master of the orchard with his own credentials, which meant that whatever happens next was already his. He did not play it. Playing a master was a firing offense unless the case file ordered it, and his case file did not order it yet. What he did was read the recording's provenance chain. The somniographer who dreamed it, the studio that hosted the session, the registry stamps, the edit log. The edit log was where a cheat would have to live. A stamped dream was supposed to be immutable after certification. But immutable is a word engineers use for things they haven't watched long enough. The orchard's provenance was clean in the way expensive things are clean. The dreamer was Marin Voss. He sat with that for a while.
The industry was small at the top, a few hundred people whose dreams were vivid enough to sell, and he had known before he pulled the chain whose name might be on it. He had pulled it anyway. 20 years of audits had taught him that the moment you start steering around names is the moment the job becomes something else. Marin had recorded The Orchard 4 years ago, a flagship pastoral, her signature warmth in the wind. There was no universe in which she razored 4 seconds out of a certified master to hurt a girl she had never met. Which meant the edit was downstream of her, someone with master access, or something wrong with the idea of master access itself. He wrote it into the case file the way you write things you don't want to be true. Providence intact, bearer instrument. Whoever touched the stream had registry level keys, or better. He went to see Marin before he decided not to.
That was the order of things now. The visit first, the second guessing after.
She worked out of a recording suite on the 4th floor of a converted textile building, the kind of room that smelled faintly of warm electronics and the chamomile tea the talent drank by the gallon. And she answered the door with the particular stillness of a woman who had been asleep in the daytime. "You're auditing me," she said. Not a question. She knew the hours he kept. "I'm auditing The Orchard."
"I heard."
She stepped aside to let him in. The suite was spare, the recording chair with its crown hoist, the isolation drapes, a kettle, a shelf of paper books that no one in the industry ever opened. "A girl died in it. The registry sent a form letter to the Dreamer of Record, which is the registry's way of telling me I'm either a witness or a suspect, and they'll decide later." 4 seconds are missing from the stream she was fed. Marin went still in a different way. "The Orchard doesn't have missing seconds. I dreamed it in one take. That's why it sells. It's all one breath, no edits."
"The master is intact. The failure's downstream of you."
"Downstream of me is the certification station," she said. And he watched her do the math he had already done, watched her arrive at the same impossible place. "Ilya, the stamp is the whole point. If the stamp can be written into—" She stopped, because saying it made it real.
"Don't say it out loud," he said. "Not in this building."
She looked at him for a long moment, the way you look at someone whose bad news you have been waiting for without knowing it. Then she crossed to the recording chair and put her hand on the crown hoist almost tenderly. "4 years I have sold the same honest warmth to 40 million strangers," she said. "And somebody has been using my winds to carry God knows what into people's sleep. Find them, Ilya. Whatever the registry tells you to do, find them." He left without telling her about the subscription.
He had come close. The words had been right there. 3 years of Tuesday nights, a third generation copy of her voice. But some confessions are really just transfers of weight, and she was carrying enough. The black market had a geography if you knew how to read it, and Ilya knew how to read it the way a building inspector knows which walls are new. The studios were the licensed face. Under them, in the gaps between the zoning maps, were the back rooms. Converted clinics, dead massage parlors, a former cryonics office with the doers still bolted to the floor, where insomniacs and the broke sold their nights. A virgin dream pulled off a sleeping stranger was worth more the stranger the mind, and the brokers knew their suppliers the way old bookies know their horses. He went to see a broker named Selma, who operated out of the back of a sleep hygiene clinic in the warehouse district, the kind of place with a legitimate storefront that sold magnesium gummies and blue light glasses, and a back room that sold everything else. He had flipped her once, years ago, and kept her in his pocket the way you keep a spare key. Not friendship, just the mutual understanding that she would rather talk to him than to anyone with a warrant.
4 seconds out of a license stream, he said. Registry level edit. Who buys that?
Selma was feeding a row of crowns through a sterilizer with the tenderness of a woman washing dishes.
Nobody buys that, she said. That's not a product. A product is a dream somebody wants to have twice. What you're describing is a tool.
Tools have buyers.
Tools have makers.
She set the crown down and looked at him for the first time.
You're asking the wrong question, Ilya. You're asking who would cut 4 seconds out of a dream. You should be asking what a person would need 4 seconds of a sleeping brain for.
He let that sit.
The clinic's front room hummed with the soft retail music of the sleep wellness industry, the sound of money pretending to be melatonin.
The girl who died, Selma said, not looking up. You think she was a customer? She wasn't a customer. Nobody gets hurt in a studio. That's the whole sales pitch. And the pitch has been true for 15 years. If the pitch broke Tuesday night, then Tuesday night the most valuable thing in this city stopped being a dream.
She slid the sterilizer door shut.
It became the first person who could prove it broke. Think about who needs that proof to disappear, and think about who needs it to exist.
He thought about it all the way back to the registry, and by the time he reached his desk, he had the shape of it, and the shape was ugly. If a dream could carry harm, the value didn't flow to the victims. It flowed to whoever controlled the proof. The studio needed it suppressed. The studio's rivals needed it aired. The registry needed it to have never happened. And a dead 26-year-old had spent her last employee credit at 3 a.m. on the most innocent dream in the catalog, 40 minutes before someone edited her sleep. His supervisor was a careful man named Okafor, who had survived 3 administrations by never being early to a conclusion. He read Ilya's case file twice, which for Okafor was alarm.
The checksum failure is real, Ilya said. The gap is real. The master provenance is registry grade. I need a playback authorization on the gap itself.
You don't know what's in the gap.
That's the point of playing it.
That's exactly the point of not playing it.
Okafor closed the file. We have a dead auditor and a corrupted stream. I can get you a warrant for the studio's telemetry, and I can get you a second signature on the archive. I cannot get you authorization to put an unknown signal into a sworn officer's brain.
If that 4 seconds did what you think it did, you want me to sign a piece of paper that lets it happen to you.
I've been dreaming contraband for 20 years.
You've been dreaming products.
Okafor leaned back.
This isn't a product. You said so yourself. I don't sign for tools. Find me another way in.
Another way in meant the shadow layer, and the shadow layer meant a cost he would have to carry alone. He knew that. Okafor knew he knew it. The file stayed unsigned between them like a chess piece neither wanted to touch. That night he did what he always did when the case went past the point where the office could follow. He went home, sat in the chair, and put on the crown. Not the contraband, his own subscription. Harbor Light, 3rd generation, the edges worn soft. The dream opened the way it always did. A small kitchen, late light through salt-stained glass, the sea somewhere close enough to hear without seeing. A woman moved through the room with the unhurried competence of someone who belongs to a place. She never turned all the way around. That was the trick of it, the thing the 3rd generation copy had preserved, the warmth without the face. She set a cup down by his elbow, and her hand rested a moment at his shoulder. And the feeling arrived the way it always arrived, without preamble or condition. Someone is quietly glad you exist. He had been buying this for 3 years. He knew the seams of it the way an auditor knows them. The loop point where the light repeats, the slightly generic window. He knew it was a product, and the knowledge changed nothing, which was the saddest professional fact he owned. But tonight, in the middle of the familiar warmth, the dream did something it had never done in 3 years of playbacks. The woman stopped. The sea sound dropped out like a cut wire.
And from somewhere in the kitchen's warm air, in a voice that was not the product's voice, 4 seconds played. A rush of signal too fast to parse, a spike of pure engineered terror that hit his sleeping body like a current. And then the wind came back, and the light came back, and his own heart was hammering so hard it tore him out of the dream and into the dark of his apartment with the crown's filaments cold against his skull. He sat in the dark for a long time doing the arithmetic. Someone had found the only thing he dreamed. Someone had reached into a degraded 3rd generation legally purchased comfort dream and left 4 seconds inside it. Not as a product,
as a message. Which meant they knew who he was, they knew what he was auditing, and they had just demonstrated inside his own head that the 4 seconds could be delivered anywhere, to anyone, through anything. The claim that had held up the sky for 15 years, a dream cannot hurt you, hadn't just cracked at a Somnus House studio. It had followed him home. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can listen to this story and thousands of others that explore the hidden science and mechanics behind the headlines. He did not go to Okafor with the home intrusion, because a message delivered inside a licensed dream was proof of 2 things at once: that the 4 seconds could be weaponized anywhere, and that the person holding them knew exactly who was asking questions. Reporting it would have meant logging it, and logging it would have meant telling the building that the building might be the problem. Instead, he did the one thing a man with 20 years of audit habits does when the evidence gets personal. He went back to the chain.
The checksum system had a design feature that everyone in the industry had stopped thinking about because it had never mattered before. Every stamped dream carried the cryptographic fingerprint of the station that certified it, and the certification stations were physical machines in physical rooms, and the machines kept maintenance logs that no one ever read because nothing ever failed. Ilya read them. 3 weeks before the girl died, one of the registry's own certification stations had been taken offline for 90 minutes in the middle of a Sunday night for what the log called a firmware refresh. There was no firmware refresh scheduled. There was no record of who signed the work order. 90 minutes was more than enough time to install a door where no door was supposed to exist. The second reversal arrived quietly, the way the real ones always do. The edit had not been made at the studio, and it had not been made on the master in the vault. It had been made at the point of certification, inside the registry's own hardware. The 4 seconds had not been razored out of the orchard after it was stamped. They had been written into the stamp itself, into the seal that was supposed to make tampering impossible. Which meant the weapon did not live in one dream. It could live in any dream the registry had ever certified. The entire licensed sky was the delivery system. He brought it to Okafor with the maintenance log printed on actual paper, because paper did not sink anywhere. Okafor read it standing up, and for the first time in 3 administrations, Ilya watched the careful man stop being careful. How many dreams has that station certified?
4 years of them, most of the current catalog.
And the work order?
Doesn't exist. Nobody signed it. Nobody was supposed to be able to sign nothing.
Ilya put his palm flat on the log. The girl didn't die because a dream broke. She died because she found it.
She was an auditor, consumer division. She ran a compliance check on the catalog's checksums as part of a routine recertification sweep, and she flagged the orchard 4 days before she died. The flag is in the queue. It was assigned out and then unassigned twice, and then she used an employee credit at 3 in the morning to dream the product herself. She wasn't a customer. She was confirming her own finding. She wanted to feel where the seam was.
And the seam killed her.
The seam has 4 seconds in it that aren't supposed to exist, Ilya said.
I don't know that they killed her. I know they were delivered to me last night, in my home, in a degraded copy of a comfort product, and my heart did things it has never done in 20 years of dreaming other people's evidence. If those 4 seconds can do to a healthy 26-year-old what they did to me, then we are not investigating a death. We are investigating a demonstration.
Okafor sat down slowly. Outside, the building hummed its ordinary hum, thousands of licensed dreams cycling through the air above the city like weather.
The studio is Somnus House, he said. The certification station is ours. If this goes up the chain the way it is supposed to, the registry certifies nothing until this is understood, and the industry that employs half the city's night shift stops existing tomorrow morning.
And if it goes up the chain the way it usually does, Ilya said, the girl becomes a congenital arrhythmia, and the 4 seconds becomes someone else's property. They both knew what he was offering. There were 2 ways to make the 4 seconds safe. The registry's way,
Containment, quiet, a sealed lab, and the near certainty that a weaponized dream sealed inside a government lab would find its way into government hands. And the auditor's way: prove it publicly before anyone could own it. The second way ended careers, and possibly more than careers. "I need the playback authorization," Ilya said.
"You'll die in that chair if it's what you think it is."
"Then the telemetry will show exactly what it does, and you will have your proof either way."
He slid the paper across. "Sign it, or I do it anyway, and you spend the rest of your career explaining why you didn't."
The playback chair in the registry's containment suite had been built for auditors who had to dream the worst things humans could imagine. It had never been used for something the humans had built on purpose. The medical tech attached the leads with hands that were not quite steady, and Okafor stood at the glass with the printed log under his arm, like a man holding a stay of execution for somebody else.
"The 4 seconds are isolated on the bridge," Ilya said. "Not the orchard, just the gap. I dream the gap. The telemetry records everything, and we find out what 4 seconds of engineered signal can do to a sleeping body. If I flatline, you pull the crown and the record stands."
"Why you?" Okafor said. It was not a refusal. It was the last question a decent man asks.
"Because my dream life is already dead," Ilya said. 20 years of other people's nightmares. There's nothing in my head they can take that I haven't already spent. If anyone in this building should be the one to find out, it's the one with nothing left to dream of." He settled into the chair. "Besides, it was in my kitchen last night. It's my case." The crown came down cold against his skull. The tech counted him under the way they teach you to count the dying, gently, by twos. The last thing Ilya heard before the signal found him was the hum of the building, the sound of 10,000 strangers dreaming their licensed dreams, unaware that the sky had a crack in it, and that a tired man who bought comfort in third-generation copies was about to climb into the crack alone. The 4 seconds opened like a door in the dark.
He was standing in the kitchen from Harbor Light. His kitchen. The salt-stained glass, the late light. Except the light was wrong, the color of a signal, and the sea was gone. And in the place where the warmth lived, there was the shape of the thing the 4 seconds carried. Not an image, not a scene, but a command written directly into the sleeping mind's oldest wiring. The drop reflex. The falling dream. The place where the body believes it is dying and makes it true. He felt his heart seize the way a fist seizes, and he understood, in the way you understand things in dreams, that this was what the girl had felt, that she had spent her last 4 seconds knowing, the way auditors know, exactly what was being done to her. And then the command reached for the switch, and Ilya Voss did the only thing left that the weapons designers had not planned for. The thing no one who still authored their own dreams could have done. He refused to be afraid. 20 years of auditing other people's nightmares had burned the reflex out of him. His sleeping mind met the command the way stone meets weather. The signal struck and peaked and spent itself. And he stood in the ruins of the false kitchen with his heart hammering but beating. And he dreamed. For the first time in 20 years, on his own, the sea coming back. They pulled the crown at 4.1 seconds. The telemetry stood in the record like a witness that cannot be bought. The signal, the spike, the survival. Okafor took the printouts to people who owed him nothing, which was the only kind of people who could be trusted with them. And by winter, the registry had been rebuilt around a new rule. Every certified dream rechecked against a seal no single station controlled. And the 4 seconds had a name in the indictments, and the name was attached to a mid-tier certification contractor with quiet investors, three of whom had seats on the board of Somnus House. The girl's name was in the record, too.
Sana Reyes, 26, junior auditor who had found the seam and died confirming it. The industry changed its marketing language. The sleep halls stayed full. The wind kept blowing on the hill and the orchard, recertified. And nobody could say for certain whether the new seal would hold any better than the old one. But
because that is the truth about every seal. Ilya kept his subscription. The third-generation copy of Harbor Light had been purged from the catalog with the rest of the station's output, so he bought the new master at full price, first generation, the light sharp enough to sting. He sat in his chair at the end of the long days and let the crown descend, and the kitchen opened, and the sea was close enough to hear without seeing, and the woman moved through the late light with the unhurried competence of someone who belongs to a place. He knew what she was. He knew the seams and the loop point and the exact moment the warmth was engineered to arrive. He knew she was a product dreamed once by a woman who had shared his name and his bed and then left both. And he knew that knowing changed nothing, because the last unmonetized thing in the world was not the dream. It was the person who still chose to have one. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create fiction, nonfiction, and turn your documents into audio, all stored in one place with a single subscription. Plus, get instant access to thousands of audiobooks and deep dive investigations. Learn more today at myaudiobooks.ai. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.